All right, Tosa, good morning. So today's daf is Kuf Hey, but we're going to begin Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, the Mishnah, the Gemara, excuse me. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Tavi Bar Kisna. Rabbi says, remember again, in the Mishnah we had a couple of different discussions, but the initial discussion we're going to focus on today is if you find the sheretz in the Mikdash, how do you remove, what's the process for removing the sheretz? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruchah said that the kohen takes off his avnet, he takes off his belt, his sash, he scoops up the sheretz and he gets it out. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruchah, excuse me, that was Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruchah. Rabbi Yehuda says that you take wooden tongs. The idea of wooden tongs is that wood, if it doesn't have a base kibul, if it doesn't have a receptacle, so then lemaisa again, it's not mekabel. So when you take the wooden tongs and you remove the sheretz like that, so it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Tavi Bar Kisna. Very interesting Gemara. Amar Rav Tavi Bar Kisna. Amar Shmuel. Hamachnis tame sheretz lemikdash chayiv. Or say hamachnis tame sheretz lemikdash chayiv. So we'll say Shmuel says the following idea: if you bring a kli that contracted tuma from a sheretz, look at Rashi. Hamachnis tame sheretz kli shenitma b'sheretz. So if you bring a kli that contracted sheretz tuma into the Beis Hamikdash, chayiv. You're chayiv for doing so. You're chayiv for bringing a tame item into the Beis Hamikdash. Rashi says chayiv. Chatos b'shogeg v'kareis azadona. If you did it unintentionally, chayiv chatos. If you did it intentionally, chayiv kareis. Mishum kies mikdash Hashem timei. Because the pasuk says you have defiled the mikdash of Hashem, which is a lav d'horaisa. Fine. Sheret atzmo potter. Also, this is fascinating. But Shmuel says that if you bring a sheret itself, then you're potter. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara says, my time. Well, what's the reason for that? Listen to this. It's quite fascinating. Amr Krak, because the pasuk says, Mizochar va'ad nikeva tishalechu. So we'll say the pasuk, when talking about the idea of sending tummy people out of the camp. So the Torah says, Mizochar ad nikeva tishalechu amichutz l'machane tishalchum, v'lo yitam'u es machanehem, asher ani shochin b'socham. So we'll say again, this of course was stated to Klal Yisrael in the desert, but it's ultimately referring even to the Beis HaMikdash times. So the idea is that when somebody is Tomei, you have to send them away from the camp, from the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara dashes from that. Mi sheyesh lo tara b'mikvah. So who has to be sent? Who can't come into the Beis HaMikdash? So isha, which means what? Or zachar in a keva. Somebody who has tara in a mikvah is prohibited from entering into the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash when they are Tomei. Yotza sheretz she'in lo tara. It's fascinating. But a sheretz, I will say, which what? Has no tara. There is no way for a sheretz to become tahor. Therefore, because there's no way for it to become tahor, interestingly enough, sounds somewhat counterintuitive, but it's fascinating. So because a sheretz can't become tahor, therefore what? The actual physical sheretz itself is not subject to the laws of what the Torah will call tishalechum. So because the sheretz can't become tahor, therefore, it's not subject to the laws of being sent out from the Mikdash. And therefore, technically speaking, if you were to bring the sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, you would not be chayiv. Okay? So let's bring a braisa that would support this. Mizachar ad nekeva tishalechu. From a zachar, from man to woman, you send them away from the camp if they are tameh. Prat likli charas. This comes to exclude what? An earthenware vessel that became tameh. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili. These words are Rabbi Yosei Halili. My time. Now, what's the reason for this? So the Gemara says, Lav Mishum de Lesle Tara B'mikva. So maybe it's the same reason like we just said before, because I will say, what are the only things that you can't bring in to the Beis HaMikdash if they're Tamei? Something that has the ability or the capacity to become Tahor. But if it doesn't have the ability to become Tahor, then it's not subject to the laws of Tumah being brought into the Beis HaMikdash, to which the Gemara, and therefore again, we would assume maybe the reason the Kli Cheres can be brought in is why? Because the Kli Cheres cannot be made tahor, right? Rabbi says one of the chaps of the Kli Cheres is that once it becomes tummy, you can't purify it. So the Gemara says, lo, mish, that's not the reason. Misha na'asa avhatuma, yotza Kli Cheres she'ino na'asa avhatuma. That the only things subject to the prohibition of coming into the Beis HaMikdash when they are tummy are things that are capable of becoming an avhatuma. Rabbi says, remember, avhatuma is the highest level of tuma. A Kli Cheres is not capable of becoming an avatuma. A kli cheres at most can become what we call in halacha a rishon. So a rishon means something that contracted a tuma from an avatuma. So some things, if like for example, even if a kli cheres, if I go ahead and I touch a dead body, I can become an avatuma. I can be called up, which means that I have the ability to transmit tumah to many different things. If a kli cheres goes ahead, you put a kli cheres on top of a corpse, so then lamaisa, that kli cheres does not become an av, it becomes a rishon. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here that lamaisa, the only things that are prohibited from coming into the Beis HaMikdash when they are tamei are things that are capable of becoming an avatuma. Kli cheres cannot, therefore it can come in. Salima kitanoi. So we'll say, let's say this is machlokesam. So we'll say now we have a fascinating statement from Shmuel, and Shmuel is telling us that lamaisa, if I bring in a utensil that became tamei from a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, I'm chayy for that. But if I bring in the sheretz itself, I'm not. I'm not. That's Shmuel's statement. And Shmuel's statement is based on the idea that only something that is capable of having tara is subject to the laws of tumah in the mikdash. But if it's not subject to the laws of tara, which the sheretz is not, it's not subject to the prohibition of being brought into the Beis HaMikdash tamei. Fine. Says the Marlema Kitanoi. So maybe there is a machlokes tamam regarding this particular statement of Shmuel. What's machlokes tamam? So we'll say the Gemara now quotes our Mishnah. Sheretz shenimtza b'mikdash. If you have a sheretz that was found in the Beis HaMikdash, Kohen motzio behemyono. The Kohen goes in and takes his sash off, his avnet, and he goes in and he quickly scoops it up and gets it out. Why? Shlola hashos es ha-tumah div Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. In order not to maintain tumah in the mikdash for one moment longer than necessary, these are the words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. Rabbi Huda says, Betzeves, no, you go and you find wooden tongs that don't have a receptacle, shall eats. Motzio, shalol rabos es hatumah. In order what? Not to cause tumah proliferation. What does that mean, Rabosa? Because Rabbi Huda says that if the Kohen takes off his avnet, he takes off his sash and he scoops up the sheretz, so what's going to happen? He is magnified tumah. Why? Because now the avnet itself becomes tummy as well. Therefore, better to go ahead and find the wooden pair of tongs. The wooden pair of tongs without the receptacle won't become tummy, and therefore the mice will be okay. So the Gemara says, my love, b'hakam eflegi. Are they not arguing about the following point? Demand the amr shalolishos. The one who says shalolishos. So the first opinion of Osai, which was Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, who says that the Kohen should just take off his sash, scoop up the sheretz and get it out of there, in order not to maintain tumah in the mikdash. Kasavar hamachnis sheretz lemikdash chayiv. He holds that one who brings the sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash is chayiv. Therefore, the sheretz is mamish. A real source of tumah, and therefore the ma'aser should be dealt with and removed as quickly as possible. Umandam shlolu rabos kasavar, and the one who holds, i.e. Rabbi Yehuda, holds that you should go find the wooden pair of tongs, even though it'll take a little bit longer. Kasavar hamachnis sheretz lamikdash potter, holds that he who brings the sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash is in fact potter. Therefore, I will say, because you're potter, you could take your time in finding the wooden tongs in order to remove the sheretz. To which the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, lo. Tuchuli al machayiv. The way we paskin Abbas is not like Shmuel. Everyone agrees that lemaisa bringing a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, is your chayiv for that. That we don't hold of this idea that only things that are capable of becoming tahor are tamei. A sheretz is tamei. And therefore, if one brings a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, they're chayiv for that. So what's the machlokis over here? The machlokis pretty much is as stated in the Mishnah. V'hacha b'ha k'miflinki. Mar savar shehuye tuma adif, or mar savar afushe tuma adif. So we'll say the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch and Rabbi Huda is the following. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch holds that remember in this case the sheretz is lying there. You have a choice. What's the choice? The choice is proliferation of tuma, or what's the right term for this, or
isolation.
No, the truth is like this. The truth is, here's machlokes. Everyone agrees you're going to have some proliferation of tumah. The question is it physical proliferation or is it time proliferation? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch says we'd rather go with physical proliferation and mitigate the time proliferation. And therefore what? We'll scoop it up with the sash, even though what? You are now making something else tumah. If that negates the time proliferation, therefore I can get it. And the goal is get it out of the mikdash as quickly as possible, no matter what the cost may be. Kohen, you're getting one of your big day kohuna tame. It's okay, get it out. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. According to Rabbi Yehuda holds no. The goal is tumah containment. And again, remember the sheretz. Rabbi Yehuda says the sheretz sitting there is not actually doing anything. yes, it's usher to have the sheretz there, but technically speaking, while the sheretz is sitting on the ground of the mikdash, it's not doing anything. It's not impacting anything. So the act, however, of taking it with the sash is now doing something. You make something else tummy. Therefore, Rabbi Huda holds better to mitigate the actual physical fallout of the sheretz, even if it takes a little bit more time to actually get rid of the sheretz. Therefore, go find the wooden tongs that themselves won't become tummy, and don't go ahead and cause the spread of tuma to the bigdei kahuna. Fine. Ela kahani tanoi. Rather, the Gemara says, the machlokis is like this set of tanoi, this nan. Nehechan motzi'in also. So, if you remember again in the Mishnah talked about wherein, if you find the sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, from which points in the Mikdash are you obligated to remove the sheretz? So, the first opinion, Rabbi Shimon said, who's going to you from the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said, mina hechal, mina ulam, bina ulam lemizbeach, from the hechal, right, which is Rabbi says, the inside part of the Beis HaMikdash, Kodesh, Kadosh, Kadoshim, Ulam is the antechamber, and between the antechamber and the outer Mizbeach. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. Rabbi Akiva said, any place that you are chayiv kores for entering into, if you are tamei, that's where you have to remove the sheretz from. So the Gemara says, this nan, mehechan motzino. So, my love, baha kamiflagi, are they not arguing about the following? Demand amr me azara lo. So Rabbi said, the one who says that you don't have to remove a sheretz from the azara, which Rabbi says is Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, right? Rabbi Shimon ben Anas says that if you find the sheretz in the courtyard, you do not have to actively remove it from the Beis HaMikdash. Kasavra HaMachnis Sheretz LaMikdash Potter is of the opinion that what Rabbi say, that if you go in and you bring in a sheretz, if you bring a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, technically speaking, you're Potter. Therefore, if it's in the Azara, there's not such an imperative to remove it. Uman da Amar me az mikula azara, and the one who holds Ayi Rabbi Akiva, that you have to bring it out, you have to take it out even from the entire azara. Kasavar chayiv holds that l'maisi, if you bring a sheret into the Beis HaMikdash, you're chayiv. Top of Kofei Rabosai. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ushnehem mikra echad darshu, and they both paskind this from, they both derived their respective opinions from the same pasuk. Rabosai, here the Gemara talks about something very interesting. So the pasuk says, Vayavo ha-kohanim p'nima l'p'nima beis Hashem. The kohanim came to the inside, to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'taher, to purify it. Vayotziu es kol ha-tuma asher motu b'heichal Hashem. And they took out all of the tuma that they found in the house of God, l'chotzer beis Hashem, to the courtyard of Hashem. Vayikablu ha-levim l'hotzi l'nachal kidron chutza. And the Levium then received everything to take it to the Kidron Nachal, the Kidron stream that was outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, this is very interesting. What this is talking about over here is during the reign of King Chizkio. So King Chizkio was one of the kings of Yehuda, great, great tzaddik. Chizkio Melech, the Gemara says, had the capacity to be the Melech HaMashiach. We actually learned about him in Brachos, if you remember. Chizkio could have been the Melech HaMashiach, but ultimately, he lost that opportunity because he actively chose not to marry and have children. Because, so when the Navi confronts him, so Chizkio HaMelech says that he saw b'nevuah, if he married, he would have a child, and the child would be a terrible Rasha. And therefore, he figured better not to have children. So interestingly enough, the Navi tells Chizkio, he says to Chizkio, "V'hadei kavshei d'rachmona l'amalach, why are you getting involved in God's business? Don't get involved in God's business. You know, you do what you're supposed to do and leave God there." I say, interestingly enough, so Chizkio HaMelech says to the Navi, I wish we really get back to this, but I'll just finish this. Right, Chizkio HaMelech says to the Navi, he says, "Okay, so I'll marry your daughter." So the Navi says, "I'm sorry, it's too late." Right, because remember the first part of the story is Chizkio HaMelech is very sick. The Navi comes to the Melaker Chola / tell that he's going to die. It's not usually the best form of Bikacholim. But here he was coming, you know, before Shlomo, but you're going to die. So Chizkio HaMelech says, "I'll marry your daughter and I'll have children." So the Navi says, "Too late." So this is the famous statement of Chizkio HaMelech. Chizkio HaMelech says, "I have a Masora from my father's home. That afilu cherev chada munachas al tzavaro shel adam al yimones asam min rachamim. That even if a sharp sword is against a person's neck, a person should never despair from seeking divine compassion, no matter how bleak it looks." Sure enough, Chizkio marries the daughter of the Navi, and they have a son, and he's a man by the name of Menashe. Menashe was one of the longest reigning kings and one of the worst kings of the Jewish people. He did tshuva at the end of his life. He reigned for 55 years, which is an incredibly long reign, especially when you learn Malachim. So for 33 of them, he was a terrible Rasha. For 22 of them, he did tshuva. But what he did during those first 33, he could not reverse during the last 22. So as much as personally, he died at tzaddik, he did tshuva, but the collateral damage that he caused the Jewish people was irreversible during his time. So we'll say, one of the first things Chizkiyahu did when he came to become king is Chizkiyahu had a father. His father was a man by the name of Achaz. Achaz was also a king and a rampant Oved Avodah Zarah. You know, some people are recreational Oved Avodah Zarah. You know, on the weekends, you know, long weekends. You know, he was mamish, like, he was the real thing with Avodah Zarah. So he had put Avodah Zarah everywhere, including in the Beis HaMikdash. One of the first things Chizkiyahu HaMelech did when he assumed the throne is he cleaned out all of the idolatry from the Beis HaMikdash. That's what this pasuk is referring to over here. That the Kohanim came into the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, Letayer, and what, if you could imagine, the scene is they're bringing all of the Avodah Zarah out to the Chatzer, to the courtyard, to the Azara. And the Levim are then taking all of the Avodah Zarah and they're taking it down to the Nachal Kidron. You know, today, if you ever take the City of David tour in Yerushalayim, you can go to the Kidron Valley, to Nachal Kidron. So they took everything to the Kidron. So the Gemara says the following. So why is this important, first of all? Mar Savra, one opinion holds, Midi Ishtani Ba'azara Belevim. So I'll say, what's interesting about this is the following. The Kohanim are doing all of the work inside of the Beis HaMikdash, and yet, when it comes to the courtyard, so who takes over? The Levim. The Levim. Now, so what the Gemara says is very interesting, meaning Kohanim, you know, if you're already starting, so why don't you finish up the job? Why the Levim taking over? So one opinion holds, for the simple reason, Midishtani Ba'azara Be'Levim, Tuma Ba'azara Leka. Now, Bosa, here's the interesting part. Now, remember that Avodah Zarah is Metame. Avodah Zarah is Metame. Now, here's what's interesting. So here you have, inside the Beis HaMikdash Avodah Zarah, the Kohanim themselves are removing it, which means what? That the Kohanim themselves are handling Tuma. However, so the first opinion says, once the Avodah Zarah gets to the Azara, so Tuma in the Azara, in the courtyard, is not such a big deal. Because it's not such a big deal, then what? The Kohanim don't have the imperative to deal with it. We could leave it to the Levi. That's Levi work, right? I think I offended Michael, right? That's Levi work, right? Go ahead, that's Levi work. Umar, so we'll say that would be a raya. That would be a raya that there's no real din tuma in the Azor in the courtyard. Umar, sir, the other opinion holds. Ad heicha delo efsher beleviim mafki Kohanim. Hashta de efsher beleviim su lo metame Kohanim. The other opinion holds no. There is a din of Tumah in the courtyard. We get rid of Tumah even in the Azara. So why do we switch off with the Levim over here in the Azara? Because mostly there was a lot of work. There was a lot of work. So what happened? The Kohanim took full responsibility in the area in which the Levim did not have access to. Remember, the Levim don't come into the Heichal. Right? The Levim don't come in to the actual Kodesh or Kodesh Kadashim. And therefore, again, the Kohanim took care of all the work inside. But once again, the Levim were able to pitch in and help out, so that comes in the courtyard. That's where they come in. But it's not a raya, but there's still a din of Tumah in the courtyard. The Levim get him out because now it's helpful to have extra hands. Mm-hmm. So take a look. Take a look at... take a look at Rashi. Dilo Efsha, Rashi's Behechel. Because Levim could not help out in the Heichel itself. Because Behechelo Aili Levim. Because Levim can't go into the Heichel. Da'afilo Kohanim Asiri Lemeal Ela La'avoda Kidichsiv Va'ayavo Becholeis La'kodesh Ze Heichel Mibes La'paroches Ze Lefnai V'lifnim. So also remember, even Kohanim can't just stop walk into the Kodesh, into the Heichal. That's through the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kodashim. You can only go in there for Avodah, of course, all the more so for Levim. So we'll say it's a fundamental machlokes. Tanu Rabbanan. We'll say, and this is now also a very interesting case. Hakol nichnasin beheichal. So we'll say, here's what we're left with. You know, let's finish the Gemara, then we'll do a little bit of halacha at the end. So the Gemara says this: Tana Rabbanan, Hakom Nichnasin Behechol. Everyone could walk into the Beis Hamikdash, Livnos, Litakein, Ulahotzi Es HaTumah. So we'll say, technically speaking, anyone. Now, when we say anyone, anyone would seem to mean Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim could walk into the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of Livnos, to build it, to make repairs, and to remove Tumah. However, Umitzvah B'Kohanim. But for all of these jobs, if possible, it is better to do it with Kohanim. In Ein Shem Kohanim, if there are no Kohanim there, I'll say this is just an interesting question in general, just with upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Remember, the Beis HaMikdash was still a structure like any other structure, as much as there were miraculous activities that were there, still needed upkeep. So the interesting shaila is, who can go in to do the upkeep? So the Gemara says, technically speaking, anyone. However, mitzvah be Kohanim, but preferable with Kohanim. Im ein shem Kohanim, if there are no Kohanim there, nichnasim Levim, then you use Levim. Im ein shem Levim, if there are no Levim, then what? Then nichnasim Yisraelim, then you could have Yisrael go in. The Idi Tahorin in Tmein Lo. Rabbi said all of these cases. So remember, we have a hierarchy in terms of who we want going in to make the repairs. But one thing is for sure, which is that they have to be Tahor. They have to be Tahor. Amar Rav Kahana Misayeya de Kohani. So Rav Huna said that Rav Kahana was known as the helper or the advocate for Kohanim. Why is Rav Kahana the advocate for Kohanim? The Tani Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana said, Mitoch Shene'emar, Ach ala parochas lo yavo. I will say the pasuk says, Ach ala parochas lo yavo, but to the parochas he will not come. Ve'al mizbeach lo yigash ki mum bo. So we'll say this is talking about a coin with a mum. Coin with some type of disqualifying blemish. So the Torah says that he will not come to the parochas. Right? He will not come to the curtain and not come to the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, which seems to indicate what? That he does not participate in avoda. He does not participate in sacrificial service. Yachol lo yu kohanim ba'ali mumin nichnasim bein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach la'asos rikui pachim. So we'll say, I might have thought that since the Torah says that the ba'al mum, the blemished kohen, who's disqualified for avodah, also can't come in to the kodesh. Now why would he be coming into the kodesh? La'asos, literally between the ulam and the mizbeach, why would he be coming in? La'asos rikui pachim. I will say, Rikui Pachim literally means gold plates. Now, why is he coming in to, what's gold plates? Look at Rashi. Rikuin, Tassin Shel Zahav, gold plates. Shemechapin Bahen Beis Kodshe HaKadoshim Misocho. So, also very interesting. The inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if you can imagine this, the walls were gold plated. So, apparently, what happens over time? So, I guess sometimes the plating, I don't know. We only have one gold-plated wall in our house, so we keep it up pretty well. Right? So I guess over time something happens to the gold, so it has to be repaired. So I might have thought that since the Kohen Ba'amum can't come in to do the avoda, that maybe he also can't help with the repairs to the gold-plated wall. Talmud Lomar Ach Chalak. Therefore, the Torah says Ach. Now, what Rav Kahana is saying is the word Ach. Ach means lechalik. Ach means it's ach is a word that comes to teach us about different categories. It's a better term for this. Ach lechalik literally means ach comes to split. What it means is that ach comes to really it's to exclude. That's really what it means. So therefore, when the Torah says ach el haparoches lo yavo, what it means is the kohen balmum can't come to the paroches. He can't come to the mizbeach. I.e., he can't come to the mikdash to do avoda. But he can come to the mikdash in order to go ahead and help with repairs. So we'll say, the reason why this is important is because, remember what the Brisa just said before, when making repairs, we would rather have a kohen than a non-kohen. So we'll say, so therefore what you see from here is, we'd rather have a kohen balmum, even though this kohen can't do the avodah, but a kohen balmum is still better than a levi or a yisrael for making the repairs. So the Gemara goes on, ach halak, mitzvah b'tmimim. So again, therefore what comes out? Lemaisa, we'd rather, we as you said before, we want to use Kohanim for everything that goes on in the Beis HaMikdash. And Lechatchila, Temimim. To begin with, Lechatchila, we'd rather use what we call complete, unblemished Kohanim, meaning the type of Kohanim who are fit for Avoda as well. Ein Sham Temimim, if there are no Kohanim Temimim, Nichnasin Ba'ali Mumim. Right? Then what? If there are no Kohanim Temimim, then Lemaisa, we allow a Kohen Ba'amum to go in. Mitzvah b'tahorim. Similarly, there's a mitzvah to write l'chatchila, we want people who are tahor to go in and make the repairs. Ein sham tahor, if there's nobody who's tahor, nichnas n'tmei. So we'll say again, l'maisa, if there's no one who's tahor, then you allow someone who's tahor to go in. Idi v'idi kohanim in Yisraelim lo. But in all these cases, Rabbi say the chatchila, we want kohanim and we don't want Yisraelim. Again, if there are no, so we'll say you see the gradations over here. So lemaisa again, we'd rather have kohanim tamimim. If we don't have kohanim tamimim, then we'll have kohanim mumim. We'd rather have kohanim, right? We'd rather have kohanim tahorim, if not kohanim tamehim. And then if you have none of the above, then levim yisraelim again, along with the tamei tahor lines as well. So then the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Iboy lehu, tamei ubal mum, eiza mehen nichnas. So I'll say, listen to the following case. Let's say now lemaisa, you have Rashi says over tamei ubal mum, I afshar ela be'achal mehem, eiza mehen nichnas, machnisin. You have a kohen who's tamei and a kohen who's a bal mum. One of them is needed to make the repairs. Mm-hmm. Who do you send in? Who do you send in? Okay, it's an interesting shayla. Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amarav, Tami Nichnas. So Rav says, or Rav Chiya bar Ashi, the name of Rav says, you send in the Tami. Send in the Tami, right? Why? He says, Daha Ishtri ba'avoda Sibar. Now, here's something very interesting. There is a concept of Tumo Hutra b'tzibar, which means what? That if the majority of the congregation, 51% of the Jewish people are Tameim, right? You ask, when could that happen? So it can happen very easily. It can happen in times of war, right? So if you have more than 51% of the congregation being Tameim, the people being Tameim, then what we call Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, the laws of Tumah are suspended. And you would even be able to offer up all communal offerings, not personal offerings, but communal offerings in a state of ritual impurity. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Rav says that even though this guy is Tameim, since technically speaking, under certain circumstances, this coin would be fit for service, for communal service, therefore what to me, since there's a possibility that even in his present state, under certain circumstances, he could do the avodah, he takes precedence over the baal mum. Why? Because let's say the baal mum is totally disqualified, right? There's no, unless the baal mum were to be magically healed, there is no way for him to become a functional coin. Therefore, we'd rather send in the baal mum. Rav Chiya bar Ashi, I'm out of time. Rabbi Elazar says, Baal Mum Nichnas. Rabbi Elazar says that you send in the Baal Mum. Why? Daha Ishtari Ba'achilas Kodshim. Because I'll say, interestingly enough, the Baal Mum, as much as he can't do Avoda, but a Kohen Baal Mum is permitted to eat from sacrificial items. So because he's permitted to eat, as opposed to the person whose tummy is not permitted not only to do the Avoda, also can't eat, the Baal Mum already is a sheiches with karbonas. Well, I'll just tell you that Lemaisa, I'll just read you this Rambam, because this is the end of this sugya. So the Rambam writes the following. The Rambam writes, Mokom shahaya ba'aliyah, let me skip down a little bit. He says, V'sha'a shenichnasim habanoim, livnos l'takin behecho, o l'hotzi misham esatoma. So we'll say, this is the Rambam, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Zayin Halacha Chav Gimel. When they would go into the, I just find this fascinating, when they go into the Beis HaMikdash to fix it or to take out something that was tummy from there, mitzvah sheyihiyu hakonichnasin kohanim tmimim. So the Rambam passes like what the Gemara said, l'chatchila, we send in complete kohanim, right? Not kohanim tmimim. Lo matzu tmimim, if you can't find kohanim tmimim, the Rambam says, yikansu ba'ali mumim, then you send in ba'ali mumim. Vim ein sham kohanim, and if there are no kohanim, even tmimim or ba'ali mumim, then what? Yikansu levim, lo matzu levim, yikansu Yisrael. Mitzvah b'tahorim, lo matzu tahorim, yikansu tmei. So we'll say again, same almost list as the Gemara. Lechatchila kohanim, even bali mumin, if you can't find those levim, can't find those Yisraelim, always use tahorim, can't find tahorim, send in tmeim. Now, tamei u'bal mum, what happens if you have a choice between a kohen who's tamei and a bal mum? Yekanes bal mum va'al yekanes tamei shatuma dechuye b'tzibur. So say so again. So the Maisa the Rambam paskins that again when faced with the decision between the tamei and the bal mum, we go with the bal mum and not the tamei. It's like the position of Rabbi Elazar. Fine. Rabbi Shimon Amar. So Rabbi Shimon says. So we'll say if you remember again in the Mishnah. So what did Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon. This is the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says anytime makom shetir lucha chachamim. Whenever the Chachamim permitted something, so don't get too carried away. They're not giving you a big bonus. They're just giving you that which is really rightfully yours. Because they only permitted things because of a shavus. Now, what does this mean? So take a look at the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Omer, what is Rabbi Shimon talking about? Meaning, what case is he referring to? So the Gemara says, Hasam koi, he's talking about that case. I will say, what was that case? This man, he's talking about the following Mishnah. I will say, this is going all the way back. If somebody is hechshe chutz l'tchum, means Shabbos starts, it gets dark, and they're right outside of the tchum of their city. Right outside of the tchum of their city. So what happens? Afilu ama acha. So we'll say, let's say again, I'm 2,001 amos from my city. Literally. So what happens? Lo yikanes. So we'll say, what does that mean? That even if I'm one ama outside of the tchum, so remember what happens? We'll say, we know again from the, once upon a time we did learn about tchumen. So remember what happens to their tchum? Wherever you are on Shabbos, that establishes your makom shavisa, you have 2,000 amos from there. So what's the chav over here? I'm one ama outside of my tchum. So what's the halacha? I'm very sorry. I have 2,000 amos from that place, which effectively means what? I will not be able to enter my city on Shabbos. My tchum will in fact end one ama right before my city. Okay, so even if I'm one ama, that's the approach. Even if one ama outside of your tchum, you're out. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon says, no. Afilu chameshesre ama yikanes. Rabbi Shimon says, as long as you're up to within 15 amos of your city, you can be counted as being in the tchum of your city, and therefore enter into your city on Shabbos. Why? Lefi she'en ha'meshuchos mematzin es hamidos. Because Rabbosai, the tchum measurers were very often not exact in their measurements. Why, Rabbosai? Not because of a lack of precision. Mipnei ha'toin. Because Rabbosai lemaisa, they were concerned that what happens, right? So most people push the envelope, right, on shiurim or on measurements. So what happens? So the people who measured the tchum always backed up the tchum a little bit more, about 15 amos, just to create a buffer. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, as long as you are within 15 amos from where the markers say the tchum starts, in reality, wink, wink, you're actually in your tchum, and therefore you could go and enter into your city on Shabbos. The Ka'amar Tanakama lo yikanis, because the Tanakama says that you can't enter in, meaning the Tanakama says you have to assess the tchum based on where the actual markers are. The Amrli Rabbi Shimon yikanis. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says that what? Rabbi Shimon says that lamaisa, you can go ahead and you can enter. And therefore, I will say when Rabbi Shimon says over here that lamaisa, Bokum shirtir lecha chachamim, mishalcha nasnu lecha. That when the Chachamim, i.e. he's referring to himself, allowed you to enter into the Tchum, even if you're within 15 amos, don't get too excited that the rabbis are giving you such a freebie. They're not giving you a freebie. What they're saying is what? Is they're recognizing that in reality, those 15 amos are yours. Those 15 amos are really your Tchum. You're really within the Tchum of your city. Under normal circumstances, we don't need to speak about this because we want people to be vigilant with the Shi'urim of the Tchum. But Lamaise, if you're stuck, just know as long as you are within 15 amos of your city, you are considered to be within and you can enter into the city. I don't see, you know what, maybe we'll stop over here. We'll stop over. Let's just read one more line. It's very exciting. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, we'll leave the last word. Right, so what happens? So now the Gemara says, because Rabbi Shimon, again, just we'll say what the Gemara is bothered by is the way that the Gemara reads. Because the Gemara reads, the Mishnah reads in a very strange fashion. That they only permitted this to you because of a shus. What does that mean? Hecha koi. So what is this referring to? So the Gemara says hasam koi. It's referring to the case that we established before. But also, I just tell you, before we go on with this, the Shulchan Aruch paskins. How do we paskin in this previous case about when a person, let's say, again, I'm walking towards my city on Shabbos, and it turns out that now it's nightfall, and I'm one amma outside of my tchum. So what happens then? So the Shulchan Aruch says, this is in Hilchos Tchumin, Simin Tav Hei Siv Gimel, Misha Kidesh Alav Hayom. So someone, it became Shabbos, it became dark, V'chutz L'tchum Ha'ir, and I'm outside of the tchum of my city, Afilu Amma Achas. Even what? Even one amma, Lo Yikanis Lios Kibnei Ha'ir. Can't enter in. Now, also, when it says you can't enter in, obviously you have 2,000 amos from wherever you are, but what it means is you are not counted as part of the tchum of the city. Lios kibnei ha'ir, ve'eino mahalich ela alpayim avalecho ruach, mimokum shekideish alav hayom. And all you have is what? 2,000 amos from wherever you are at the start of Shabbos. Rabbi will say, we do not paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Apparently, we go with the idea that where the tchum markers are, that really is where the tchum is. And I'll say again, obviously, this is also to follow Rabbi Shimon is very dangerous because lemaisa, that's also assuming that every single city puts in a buffer. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. So the way the halacha paskins is, where the tchum markers are, that's where you assume the tchum is. And if mamish, if you find yourself within one amma outside of your tchum, we're sorry, but lemaisa, there's nothing more for you to do. We'll say a couple more words and then we'll stop. So the Gemara says again, Rabbi Shimon says that the rabbis only permitted you because of Shavuos. Sehecha koi, what is this referring to? So the Gemara says, Hasam koi. It's referring back to the harp case. Because what happened to the harp case? Dika'amar tanakama koshra, va'amrile Rabbi Shimon ondva. So we'll say, if you remember again, going back to the harp case, we had a fundamental machlokas when the string of the harp breaks. So the mice, again, the shaila is, what do you do with the string? So remember, the Tanakhama says you could actually tie it. Rabbi said, tie it means what? Actually making a knot, versus Rabbi Shimon who holds that what can you do? The most you could do is make a bow. So we'll say, okay, we'll stop over here. We'll stop over here. And Meretz Hashem will continue the Siyum. Meretz, we're going to make it tonight, 9:45, a little bit of a Siyum Meretz Hashem. A little tish, Onik Shabbos, 9:45. We'll be Messiah. So I just want to take the opportunity to wish all of you a tremendous Mazel Tov and Yashar Koach. Finishing Maseches Erevin is a huge, huge Torah accomplishment. Despite the fact that every single daf and every single line was riveting and kept your attention every single moment, right? These are not easy sugyas at all. But as I said many times throughout this Masechta, it's learning like this that's real Torah Lishma. Because the truth is, it's not always lemaisa for us, and it's not always easy to follow, and it doesn't always keep our attention. But, you know, it's amazing. 105 days we've plugged away at the Maseches Erevin. And besides emerging, hopefully, with some level of knowledge, just the message it gives to the Ribono Shel Olam about how much we love him and how much we love his Torah, that even if it doesn't fascinate us in every single way, we do it because it's an opportunity to connect. That's what it is. Every single Blat Gemara just represents an opportunity to just bring ourselves a little bit closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's an incredible accomplishment. And you all make sure that you rejoice in the accomplishment because it's not a pashut thing to finish the Masechta, especially Masechta like this. I wish you all an incredible Mazel Tov. And Amir and Hashem, first of all, just the Torah that we learned together should be an incredible zuchus for ourselves, for our families, for all of Klal Yisrael. And halavai, we should be zocha to finish many more Masechtos together in the years to come. And the Kiddush. You also want to
We're actually looking for four more sponsors for the Kiddush.
How much?